You will turn with me in the scriptures to the 15th chapter of Psalms. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he that honoreth them shall fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not his money out to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His precious and His eternal Word. You know how it goes. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's what they say in court. We raise our hands, we put our hands on the Bible, we swear before the court under pain of perjury, that we will tell the truth. But we know, you know, and I know that everybody that swears in court does not tell the truth, do they? Everybody that's there is not truthful. In fact, is I've heard police officers confess that they lied under oath. Pilate, when he was examining Jesus, and they asked about the truth, Pilate looked at Jesus and wondered, what is the truth? Did you ever wonder that when you heard something? Fact is, when you heard two somethings and they didn't agree, you begin to wonder, what is the truth? What brings this about? And Pilate's certainly not the only person in the world that's ever asked that question, is he? What is the truth? I don't know sometimes. It's not always easy to tell what the truth is. In fact is, sometimes you have to get five people to tell the same story, combine them all to try to decipher out what little bit of the truth that you can get. And you may listen to two or three people and not find out the truth at all to start with. So we have to ask ourselves, what is the truth? It's not always easy to tell what the truth is. I'll tell you something else. It's not always easy to tell the truth, is it? Sometimes it's so easy to say, no, I didn't do it. And let me tell you something. You don't have to be coached or trained to tell a lie. Children learn to do it almost as soon as they learn to talk. Johnny did it. I don't know who did it. Somebody, but not me. And we go through the rest of our life telling those same things. We can't tell what the truth is, and we can't tell the truth. I'll tell you something that's sad, is Christians that can't tell the truth. People claiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and cannot tell the truth. How would you decide if you were on the throne? Not that you were God, just that you were in that position. And you could look at Washington, D.C. How would you know among politicians what is the truth? I mean, I see things in the news every day. I mean, what is the truth? Is this man innocent or is he guilty? I don't know. Judges and juries ponder for hours, days, weeks over deciding what is the truth, don't they? How does this truth come out, or what is this truth? And now that election season is upon us, we're consistently hearing from the news, people, he did it, he did this, she did that, this was done so-and-so. And they've gone back in the files. And I can tell you, folks, have you ever sat in front of a grand jury and been examined? Have you ever sat before lawyers in a grand jury and been examined? I think maybe everybody ought to do that once in their life. You know, they set me down one time and at the federal court in Roanoke, and they were asking me these questions, and I said, no, I don't think so. And then this lawyer pops out this paper and says, is that your signature on that piece of paper? And boy, did I have to think. And I had to think quick, and I had to think deep and hard. And I said, yes, that's my signature. And they said, what, you said you didn't? And I said, well, actually, I didn't have any direct contact. And that letter came from someone else and not from that person. But when all of the things come to pass that politicians say about each other in an election time, and you say, well, I'm just tired of it, I'm going to throw it all up. Let me tell you something. You're going to have to make a decision on some of these people, whether you vote for them or not, on the basis of all the so-called truths that are coming out. And some of them are not the truth. Some of them are somebody accusing somebody, somebody trying to get even with somebody. And you have to decide what's the truth. So it's hard to know the truth sometimes, isn't it? Politicians make it hard. Sometimes if you're the coaches at Pennsylvania State University, it's hard to know the truth. I'm having trouble with what is the truth in all that situation. I'm having trouble knowing what is the truth in all that. And I'm sorry for the young men who were violated during all that. I'm also sorry for the people who were responsible. And you don't know who knew what when. And consistently, we're going through this all the time in the news media. And the courts, I don't know how a judge decides what's the truth. I don't know how a jury can come to make a decision what's the truth sometimes, because people get up and one of them raises his hand and swears to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and he tells his version of the truth, and the next guy gets up, puts his hand down and raises his hand and swears to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help him God. And my friends, it can't be both the truth, can it? Both of them cannot be the truth. So sometimes we're telling our version of the truth. Sometimes we need to be careful because we don't know enough to talk about what we're talking about. Because if we only talk about a little bit of what we're talking about, what we wind up doing is telling an untruth. We don't mean to lie, but we tell an untruth because we don't know what we're talking about. And so the little bit of information we have, and boy, don't we like to get just a little bit of information so we can run over here and tell somebody about it. And did you know? Oh, my goodness, I would have never believed that in my life. And you don't know the whole story, but you're busy telling it, and it becomes a lie. And then you have to make it right, or you have to cover it up, or you have to do something. I have to tell you something. To tell the truth is important. If you look at the Holy Scriptures and go through the Bible, telling the truth is important. And if you go through the Holy Scriptures, you have to come to another conclusion. Not only is it important to tell the truth, but it's an awful sin to tell a lie. Now, if you don't believe that, I challenge you to get the book and read the book. It's an awful sin to tell a lie. Now, Psalm 15 has some questions to ask. It wants to know who gets to go. That's a good question in church, isn't it? Who gets to go? Who gets to go to the tabernacles of the Most High? Who gets to be established and not moved? Who gets to be brought up before God and stand before God and everything be all right with God? I'll tell you who. Look at the first thing it says. He that speaks the truth to himself. And the second thing is he that speaks the truth about himself. Do you realize we don't tell ourselves the truth? We tell ourselves what we want to hear. We tell ourselves what is comfortable for us to live with. We tell ourselves the version of the truth that makes it palatable to us to be able to produce a lifestyle or produce a life that we can live with. And so we don't tell ourselves the truth. My friend, I have to tell you something. You're never going to overcome your faults and failures, your character flaws. If there's anyone here that doesn't have any character flaws, you can get up and leave right now. Okay, that's what I thought. Or else the one of you that was perfect didn't have the guts to get up and walk out. Let me tell you how it is. I said that one time, and I like to kill somebody because we were about to go to the bathroom real bad at that time, but they didn't dare get up and walk out the door at that moment. Let me tell you how it is, folks. If you don't tell yourself the truth about yourself, you can't overcome whatever you're dealing with. We all have faults. We have character faults. We have to be careful because we can't tell the truth when we talk. We get carried away, and we can't tell the truth when we talk. That's a character flaw. Some of us have a greater problem with lust than other people do. Some of us have problems of sticky fingers. We can't handle anybody else's money, not even our own, because we want to filch and pick and pull and take out of it. And the truth is, my friend, that we need to tell ourselves the truth. I need to say, Eddie Kendall, you absolutely have no business trying to sing in church. See, I need to tell myself that. I need to tell myself the truth. I need to say, Eddie Kendall, and tell Eddie Kendall the truth. Now, the other thing is, I need to tell you the truth about me. If when the question comes up, I don't necessarily have to toot all of my bad characteristics, but I do have to be truthful about myself. And blessed is the man who sweareth to his own hurt. Now, my friend, that's who's going to be in the tabernacle of the Most High, is the person who can do what? Can tell the truth to himself and tell the truth about himself. And if you have to say, hey, I'm a poor manager, I'm a loudmouth, I'm a Gabigail, I'm a messy Bessie. I mean, we all got something. We need to tell ourselves the truth. You're never going to get the hoarder's corner cleaned up till you get the hoarder to say, I'm a hoarder. Amen? I mean, it's just not going to happen. You're not going to get rid of your addiction to drugs until you admit to yourself, I am an addict. You're not going to get rid of your infidelity or your immorality until you say to yourself, I am living an immoral life, and this is wrong. We have to tell ourselves the truth first. Then we have to tell everybody else the truth. Now, you don't have to go up and buy a billboard in Parisburg and put it up. I am a hoarder. You don't have to do that. But what you have to do is admit it to your husband or wife or whoever else is involved, and you have to admit the truth. It's hard to tell the truth. Now, we say, and Jesus said this, the truth shall set you free. And I've heard people say, oh, the truth never hurt anybody. I've heard preachers say that. The truth never hurt anybody. The truth can skin you alive. Amen? Absolutely. And so that's why it's blessed is a man who sweareth to what? His own hurt and changeth not. It's amazing how many of us cannot admit our own faults, not even to ourselves, nor to the peaceful people that we love the most. Let me tell you something. If we would be more honest with our husbands and wives, we'd get along a whole lot easier and a whole lot better. I found out one of the best policies is to have nothing hid, nothing secret. Brianna, I finally had to tell about those raspberries. I had to confess the whole thing. When Fern went to North Carolina in the summer, the red raspberries were just ripe. They were hanging everywhere. And she said, you ought to pick these raspberries and put them in the freezer and have them ready when I get back because they're going to be gone by the time I get back. So you know what I did. I got busy at the funeral home, and I got busy with the church, and I got busy with everything. And I thought, I am never going to get those raspberries picked. So I bought the raspberries off of Breanne. And she and her daddy and her brother were there in the house, and we had all the raspberries on the table, and we were cleaning them, and Fern called and said, what are you doing? I said, cleaning the raspberries. I didn't say I picked them. Never, never, never. I said, cleaning the raspberries. She said, oh, that's good. How many did you have? And I said, well, we've got to, and I talked about how many we got. And, of course, when she came back, the raspberries were washed and cleaned and in the freezer. And I told Breanne and her dad, I said, now, don't you tell. Don't you tell that you picked the raspberries and I didn't. So in a few weeks, though, and they didn't. They were good. But in a few weeks, I don't want that to come out the wrong way. You know. So I said, Fern, I really didn't pick those raspberries. Breanne picked the raspberries. And I paid her for them. And I said,
And it's a good thing. It helps her with her school money. And I went on and on and on, you know, made a big speech in there. It helps her with her school money and it helps her buy clothes and it encourages her, you know. And she, so she knew. And she had gone around and spot out where all the good red raspberry patches were. And they were all within walking distance of the house. What are you saying that for? I'm telling you, the best policy in your marriage, at your work, or wherever you are, is to not have a secret. Not have something that you have to cover up. If you got to be ashamed of it and cover it up, my friend, you need to do something about it. You need to clean that hole out. Because if you have to do that, you're going to put yourself in a situation where you're going to tell a lie to cover it up. Now, telling the truth is our lifestyle as Christians. That's the thing that we're noted for. If you're a Christian, if you're really a child of God, if you're really walking with God, telling the truth, my friend, is what you're noted for in your lifestyle. First of all, telling the truth is a commandment. Yes, the ninth one. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It is a command of God in the Ten Commandments to tell the truth. Don't tell anything about anybody that's not the truth. Now, Jesus said that our words should be so good that we never have to do this. You see, I should never have to say, I swear to God and hope I may die. Or like one gentleman said over in the courtroom one time years ago, they called on him and he said, the judge said, now, Mr. So-and-so, is that the truth? He said, Your Honor, I swear that's the truth. May God Almighty strike this courthouse and burn it down, kill everybody in it, and leave me a cripple. And I won't tell you who he was because there's too many old people here who would have known him. And you say, oh. Well, that's pretty good. Yeah, he got the best end of the deal. He got to live through it anyway, didn't he? Here's the thing of it. You hear people say, I swear that's the truth. Jesus said, swear not at all. Now, I have to tell you something. He actually is not talking about taking an oath in court. I have to tell you that. And even though I have made a practice of not swearing in court, I always say I affirm. But he actually wasn't talking about that because the same God that talked about this also talked about he swear because he could by himself because he could swear by no greater, and who talked about an oath in court as being legitimate. But you know what he said? You don't have to have me under oath and under pain of perjury to get me to tell the truth. You should expect Eddie Kendall to tell the truth every time my mouth opens. You should never expect anything to come out of a Christian's mouth except the truth. You know what Jesus said? Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, but swear not at all. I do not have to say, I swear to you that's the truth. I hope I may die if that's not the truth. You don't really hope any such thing. People say that. They don't really hope they may die if that's not the truth. You've got to be careful. And the Lord doesn't want us to swear. My friend, you should expect Christians to tell the truth. And sometimes you'll have to live with this. And I stood before a state official one day and he said, whose signature is that? You know what came into my mind? He that sweareth at his own hurt and changeth not shall be in the tabernacle. And I said, that's my signature. He said, I don't believe that. He said, all you had to do was say, I don't know. And I said, but that wouldn't be the truth. He said, I know, but anybody I would have asked would have said, I don't know whose signature that is. And I said, but I'm not serving the state of Virginia. I'm serving a master in heaven who died on the cross for my sins, and it's to him. And I thought, Here's all your preaching, Eddie, right here in your lap right now. Right here and right now, your lap is full of every sermon you've ever preached about telling the truth. Are you going to live it, or are you going to weasel out of it? And I made my decision right then and right there. I'm going to live it. This is the best thing for me to do. You know what? When I look back, I don't have to worry about it ever falling out of the closet. I don't have to worry about it ever being stumbled over by anybody because it's there. It's done. I confessed. No, I didn't kill anybody or anything. Don't worry about that. Didn't embezzle anything. Just wrote my name in the wrong place. Well, actually didn't even write my name. Just copied the wrong information down. It can happen. If you make a mistake, folks, don't compound it by lying about it. If you make a wrong turn, don't compound it by saying, I don't know, or Johnny did it, or Mary did it, or whatever. Tell the truth. It's what we should expect from Christians. Now, let me tell you about lying. The original liar is the devil. The Bible said that he is the liar and the father of lies. He told the first lie on this planet. Human beings didn't tell the first lie. Satan told the first lie when he came in as a serpent and talked to Mother Eve in the Garden of Eden. He lied. He's the first liar. And my friend, not only is he the father of lies, but he's got spirits, impi, demon spirits that are in this world that serve him, fallen angels, and they become lying spirits. You say, can somebody have a lying spirit? Yeah, I've met a few of them. You remember in the Old Testament, God said, how are we going to handle this? He was having a conference in heaven about something with one of the kings, and one of the fallen angels jumped up and said, I'll go be a lying spirit in his mouth. And God said, go ahead. You know why? Because the man had already failed God, already went against God, and it opened him up to allow a lying spirit to come into his mouth. Now, my friend, that's a sad thing. And there are spirits that will inhabit people that will cause them to lie. And we rationalize what we're saying. We rationalize our lies. Granny Effie used to preach, and she'd say, there are no little white lies, they're all as black as hell. Well, she had a point. Because what we try to do is rationalize, well, we tell a half-truth. You remember what Abraham did? We've studied this on Wednesday night, Abraham's journey. You remember what he did when they come down and said, who is this good-looking chick here? He said, she's my sister. Was that the truth? Yes, that was the truth. She was his half-sister. What didn't he tell? She's my wife. He only told a half-truth, and it caused heartache. If God hadn't run interference for him, I don't know what they would have done. We tell half-truths. I'll tell you what else we do. We tell insinuations. We insinuate something. We don't actually say it, but we insinuate it. This is going to be pick on we this morning. I was just up to Princeton the other day, and there at the Applebee's. I just run around, you know, run up on the hill. And do you know what? Mike Weiss's car wasn't at the Southern Exposure. What does that tell you? If I'm just in a conversation, you know, I was up on the hill in Princeton the other night, and Mike Weiss's car on Friday night wasn't up there. What does that insinuate? That ordinarily his car is at Southern Exposure on Friday nights. Ordinarily that exposed, I didn't know I could make you blush. I'm getting better all the time. She said, that better be an illustration, didn't she? We insinuate. People tell lies, and if you had to bring me up in court and get me to testify in court, I could testify that I never said Mike Weiss was at Southern Exposure. I never said it. Fact is, I said the opposite. I said his car was not up there. But the insinuation and the way it was said put it the other way. We tell our lies even by our gestures, even by our facial expressions, even by our hand expressions. And sometimes we tell a lie by not speaking at all. We just don't say it, and it becomes a lie because it makes it the truth if we don't say it. I think one of the most common ways of lying is called exaggeration. There are people that just cannot tell an ordinary story. There are people that just cannot tell an ordinary story. They have to, it's always bigger. It's always better. Now, I've lived in the woods all my life, ever since I was 9 months old when we moved down here from Cincinnati. I've lived in the woods. I mean, we had snakes crawling in the yard. I had to run and jump over them and all kinds of stuff. We throwed rocks at them. We cut their heads off with hose. We shot them with a shotgun. I've been used to seeing snakes. We used to have a fellow over at Pembroke. He's not there anymore. He's dead and gone. But he was raised in South Carolina, and I always knew he stretched things a good bit. But I knew the jig was up one day when we was talking about copperhead snakes, and he said, "You should have seen the one I killed in South Carolina." Said, "We had a pole about this high in the yard and between two trees, and I killed a copperhead, and when we hung him over that pole, his tail went all the way down and turned on the ground." There ain't never been a copperhead snake that big. Ever. Ever. Anywhere. Not in South Carolina or Virginia or West Virginia or Kentucky. Now, maybe the part that you saw and the part that you thought you saw was that long. Now, if he'd said a rattlesnake, a timber rattler, I'd have believed that. If he'd have said a sidewinder from Texas, I mean, Barbara, we saw one in Texas that big around, a sidewinder, and at least 5 or 6, 7 feet long, but not a copperhead. Why does he have to tell that story? I didn't say anything. I just stood there. But why does somebody have to exaggerate? Do you know that's a lie? God help all the fishermen on earth. Do you know that's a lie? We can't exaggerate. Let's tell the truth. Tell it like it is. And sometimes we can live a lie. Psalm 62 talks about the man who thinks he's somebody that's not, and behold, he is a lie. Sometimes we live a facade. That's called being a what? A hypocrite. We have a Christian facade, but on the inside it's something else. And you see, we don't tell the truth. You see, there's a danger in lying because people believe what we say. People believe what you say, and they act on what you're saying. The scripture talks about people will believe a lie and be damned. That's terrible, isn't it? Do you realize that if I come out here and I question some of these evangelists on television and all, if I come out here and tell you, God spoke to me this morning. Now, if I come out here and say that, you really better listen. But if I come out here and say, God spoke to me this morning, and he told me, and then I tell you what he said, and then you act on that. My friend, you believe a lie and be damned if God didn't tell me that. And people have written down doctrines. This is the way they feel it is. And people believe that. People, I read treatises and books that people have written and papers that people have written. And other people read those things without a knowledge of the Word of God, and they believe the lie and are damned. The danger in telling a lie is that people believe what you say and act on it. And I have to tell you, there's a penalty for lying. There's a penalty for telling lies. And you know what it is? The first thing, the first price you pay for lying is that people lose their trust and confidence in you. How do you feel about somebody that tells you a barefaced lie? How do you feel about somebody that looks you right in the eye and tells you a lie, and you know it's a lie? How do you feel about somebody that you have all the confidence in the world in, and they tell you something, and then later, having acted on that, you find out that it's a lie? what happens? You lose your trust of that person. You lose your confidence in that person. And that person loses their rewards. Now, I have to tell you, we don't always suffer the consequences as quick as Ananias and Sapphira did, but they conspired to lie in church. You remember in the book of Acts, and they came in and said, we sold the property for so much, and then it wasn't. And God struck them dead. It brought fear and power in the church, but God struck Ananias and Sapphira dead, husband and wife who had conspired together to lie in the book of Acts. But I can tell you something. The book of the Revelation talks about the lake of fire. And you know what it says about the lake of fire? Outside of it's hot, and it's eternal, and it's where the devil's going and where all the sinners are going. You know what it says? And all liars. Let me say that again. And it's in the book of the Revelation. You need to look at it. And all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want a thing to do with the lake of fire. I don't want to be close to it. I don't want to smell the sulfur. You say, sulfur? That's what brimstone is. I don't want to smell the sulfur. I don't want to feel the heat. I don't want to look into the flames. I don't want anything to do with hellfire. And my friend, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. You say, well, Annie, why would you get up in church on Sunday morning and preach a sermon about telling the truth and not telling lies? Because lying is one of the most common sins that there is. If there's anyone in here that says they've never, never, ever in their whole life told a lie, well, you might as well go ahead and repent for it. Amen? Because most children have, and a good portion of adults have. You say, what do you want me to do about it? Well, I don't know who you lied to. If you lied to yourself, get your head screwed on right and get it together. If you lied to somebody else, if you can make it right, make it right. But if you lied at all, you need to talk to God about it. And you need to ask God to forgive you of telling lies. And then you need to ask God to help you overcome that character flaw of lying. Now, I'm not talking about just telling big stories. I know people can tell big stories just for the fun of it. But we know they're telling a story for the fun of it. But when you tell a big story to make yourself look good or somebody else look bad, my friend, you need to repent. And you need to be careful what stories you tell, because you may be repeating a story that's a lie. You may be repeating a story that's going to destroy someone's life. You be careful who you tell, who you saw with, or who you saw where. You be careful how you repeat what so-and-so said that they saw, because you may be believing a lie and be damned. My friend, the truth will set you free. And those that make it into the tabernacle of the Most High are those who tell the truth to themselves and about themselves. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will be in every heart here this morning. Speak to our souls. Resurrect in us, Father, a determination to speak only the truth, nothing but the truth. And Father, I pray that we will learn not to exaggerate. We'll learn not to stretch. Father, I pray that we'll learn not to tell half-truth or insinuating truths. But Father, I pray that the whole truth and nothing but the truth will be in our heart. And Lord, I remember David said in his prayer of repentance, Thou art looking for truth in the inward parts. And Father, I pray that as we come before you this morning, we come thanking you that you care, that you cared enough to send Jesus to die on the cross for every lie and every liar on earth. Father, that the truth is that God loves us. The truth is that God loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us. And that truth is that God loved us enough to turn his head while Christ died a horrible death on the cross. But the truth is that he resurrected and is now in heaven. Father, the truth is that if anybody will come to you, you'll in no wise cast them out. That whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, let us grasp hold to this truth and let go of the lies that Satan has told on God and on us. Father, cleanse us from all lies. Fill us with all truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing Someone to Care this morning, I would ask you to stand. And as you stand, if there's someone here that needs prayer, we, all of us, will be glad to pray with you this morning.
You did it.
Wouldn't it be awful if he was just standing up there with lightning bolts and thunderclaps and all the power he's got and he didn't care a hoot for us? Boy, we'd be in a bad shape, wouldn't we? Wonderful thing is, yeah, he has all that power. Don't take a thing away from his power. But man, you got to see the heart of God. So big that he's willing to give his son that a sinner like me could be saved. Hallelujah. My friend, he loves you. He cares. And when your burden's heavy, he cares. When people misunderstand you, he cares. When people don't understand you, he cares. My friend, when you go from this place this morning, know one of the great truths is that God cares for us. And because of that, we can cast all our care on him. I'll see you Wednesday night, the Lord willing. Father, may the Holy Spirit of God, the benediction of your Spirit, and the power of your grace go with your people. Keep us and sanctify us this day and every day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.